The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Others were saying, "He is Elijah." Still others, "He is a prophet, like any of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up." Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in the prison. He brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. When his disciples learned about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Did you know that this rather chilling, rather gruesome gospel episode that we just heard is the only gospel reading that's not about Jesus Christ? It's the only one in all the Bible that's not about Jesus Christ, at least not directly. What it's intended to do is to be a prefigurement. The passion and death of John the Baptist are intended to prefigure the passion and death of Christ, and maybe that's a homily for another time. There's a lot of lessons here in this passage. One of which, by the way, just mentioned in passing, is how unrepented sin has a snowballing effect. Notice how King Herod went from one sin to the next. He went from adultery to debauchery to rash oaths to complicity in murder. Snowballing effect. There's a separate homily about that someday, because this is the thing that I really think that we need to hear this morning. A really important lesson here from this gospel is how the worst crimes occur simply because good people are unwilling to take a stand when they're supposed to. The worst crimes occur because people are self-concerned, thinking about their own safety and well-being and not wanting to rock the boat. Almost nobody in this crowd had hatred for John the Baptist. Almost nobody. It was only Herodias. Everybody else liked him. Or they didn't really care about John the Baptist. But notice, one person after another who should have spoke up kept their mouths shut. Like Herod's daughter. Or all the people there in the crowd. Or Herod himself. Or the efficient executioner, right, who lopped off his head. You can be certain that if he was questioned, he would have said, "I was only following orders." How did it come to pass? They were all self-concerned. Nobody wanted to risk their health or their safety or their well-being, and they just didn't rock the boat and they didn't speak up when they should have. It's remarkably similar to the way Jesus died. Think about the events of Good Friday. almost nobody in the crowd had anything against Jesus Christ. Only the scribes and the Pharisees, just a handful of them. Certainly wasn't the mob who was chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." I love to think about that mob on Good Friday. Remember, that same mob that was chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him," just a few days earlier was throwing palm branches down at his feet and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." How fleeting is popularity, how little it is worth. But the people who should have spoke up kept their mouths shut. People like Pontius Pilate, people like all those others in the crowd, people like St. Peter, or the apostles, they ran away. Why? Because they were afraid. They were afraid of what might happen to them if they spoke up. They were covering their own tail when they shouldn't have. It's one of the most important lessons this gospel teaches. The worst evils in the world come to pass when good people keep their mouths shut and think about themselves. Don't let it happen to you. Perhaps the classic example of this from history is that of the good German, in quotation marks. Sometimes that phrase, good German, is used to refer to the good, honest, decent folk who lived in Germany in the 30s, in the days when the Third Reich was gathering strength, right? Why didn't anybody speak up? Why didn't anybody open their mouths? Why didn't anybody take a stand? Same answer as here in the gospel. People are excessively self-concerned and excessively self-preoccupied. We must not be like that, ladies and gentlemen. We must not be like that. It's good that we have feasts of martyrs, like today's martyr, St. Agatha. Tell you a little bit about St. Agatha. St. Agatha was, by all accounts, a very attractive, very wealthy young Roman lady, had everything in the world going for her. But she happened to be born into the days of the Emperor Decius. He had one of the worst persecutions in all the church. And Agatha had this amazing opportunity to marry this very wealthy, very powerful Roman man on one simple condition. All she had to do was renounce her faith. And she wouldn't do it. You might not think that's a very small thing to ask, but remember, renouncing your faith in the days of the persecutions was amazingly common. The Romans made it easy. They showed up at your door with a script. It was called a libellus. All you had to do was sign on the dotted line, and you wouldn't have to go face the hungry lions. That's all it took. And people did it in droves. Don't ever over-romanticize the ancient church, right? They were made of the same flesh and blood as you and me. And they had the same excuses. They said, you know, I've got to protect my family. I've got to protect my job, all these things. All she had to do was renounce her faith, and she wouldn't do it. And she was killed, and before she was killed, she was tortured with tortures that I won't describe here from the pulpit. Jesus said, you'll have trouble in the world, but take courage. I've overcome the world. Very important to remember this. Most people just want comfortable, easy lives. We just want to go about our business and just be left alone. We weren't born to have comfortable lives, ladies and gentlemen. We weren't born to comfort and safety. We were born to holiness. And sometimes we have to take a stand. Sometimes the price is very high. It helps to remember that everything in this world is passing away. You know, an interesting little fact about King Herod? Turns out, King Herod, just 7 years after this gospel was read, without the gospel events happened, King Herod was deposed and killed. The father of the woman who he had put away so that he could marry this lady Herodias, that man was very wealthy and very powerful and very upset at King Herod. And he led an insurrection against King Herod. He was deposed and he was killed just 7 years after these events. So, you know, all of his seeking of comfort and ease was for nothing at all. It profits a man nothing if he should gain the whole world at the cost of his immortal soul, says the Lord. Important lessons for us to remember as we remember what we're called to and who we're called to be. Let's pray for the wisdom to know when we're supposed to take a stand and for the strength to do it. Let's pray, ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Agatha, pray for us.